Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sam Ju, your host. Today is April 30, 2020, and I have four other guys join this NC Asian American Live. And we're going to talk about how we are doing in the midst of COVID-19. So why don't we go around and introduce ourselves very quickly. So tell your name and where you minister. So let me start. So my name is Sammy Ju. I'm an Asian Ministries Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, and also a volunteer staff at the Point Church International. So Jacob, would you go next?
Yeah, name is Jacob Park. I'm actually a Korean-Canadian. Gone through the trauma of immigration twice. My parents immigrated to Canada. I grew up as an immigrant kid, and then I immigrated to the States. So I know USCIS very well. It's a blessing to be here. The EM pastor of First Korean Baptist Church of Raleigh. Also ABD for a PhD at Southeastern in applied theology.
Awesome, great, sweet. Gary, you're the next.
My name is Gary Lee, lead pastor of Rooted Church. Pretty much raised as a third generation Chinese American on the West Coast. Moved here to North Carolina about 3 years ago.
All right, Eric.
My name is Eric Chang. I am the lead pastor, actually co-lead pastor with my counterpart, MC Ko, at the Connect Church. Right, and right. I guess I've been in, yeah, I grew up in American churches, but I was born here and raised here, actually in Michigan. Yep.
Great. All right, Brother Ralph.
Yes, I'm Ralph Garay. I work with North Carolina Baptist, senior church planting consultant. So working with international church planters in North Carolina.
Awesome, great. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And now this is an open meeting. So whoever out there, if you're watching through Facebook Live, and if you want to jump in for this conversation, you can jump in anytime. So we look forward to talking with you. I just wanted to talk with you and share some thoughts and ideas. And last time we met was, I think it was March 17th. And we did some podcast and video recording, and we were in the initial phase of COVID-19 stay home around that time. And we shared lots of things. And I remember most of us were very hopeful for this time that the more younger generations will step up and God would use the technology to advance God's kingdom and things like that. So I think God is definitely fulfilling some of the dreams and hope that we had. So maybe this time we can just share what you have observed so far, because it's been a little over a month and a half. So how have you been? Like, personally, you can share your personal experience, and also how has your church been so far since March 17th? So who wants to go first?
Obviously, none of us have ever experienced anything like this. So I think my mindset was like, how long is this going to be? How long is this going to be? And it just kept going. It kept going and still going. So I think I resemble a YouTube video that my kids shared with me the other day, that we go through different phases where we're watching movies. And then now we're exercising, and now we're fasting, and now we're reading the Bible more than normal. So I think we've gone through different stages, at least I have. And so I think I'm more coming to the point I'm just accepting that things are different and God is in control, and just keep plugging along with what the Lord would have me to be faithful to as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, and then as a pastor to a small church plant. So that's what I'm doing. I don't think I work any less, probably work more, but I just definitely miss people, seeing people live. So that's kind of where I'm at personally. Church-wise, I mean, I think we did the pivot and shift like everyone else. I mean, everything's online. Our meetings are online. Small groups, growth groups are online. Discipleship is online. We're trying to add more Facebook in terms of like testimonies and graphics and stuff. And we're trying to serve the community in ways we can through donations and raising money to support those who are on the ground with the hands and feet serving the city. So that's where our church is. We've added additional prayer meeting and training times for our saints, because some of them say they have a lot of extra time on their hands. So we said, okay, we'll equip you guys more in counseling, and we may add like hermeneutic class. And so we're trying to keep them busy in healthy ways. You can't just watch movies all day long. We watched a couple and I think we're done. Yeah, the two latest Christian movies. Yeah. So that's where we're at. But we are also mourning stuff. I have a daughter who's graduating high school, so her senior year is not what she hoped. But we're trying to make the most of it, come later on in the, you know, July or August, going on a trip. And but we've canceled a number of things. So that's just that's what we have to do. So that's where we're at.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing. I think well, not every family is same. My family, I have four kids and all of them are teenagers. Youngest one is 10 years old. Oldest one is in college, but she's at home and she's been at home for almost 2 months and she's going to be at home for another 3 months at least before she goes back to her school. But yeah, it's been a little bit interesting because all of us, six of us are all together in the home and they're consuming food every day. So, you know, trip to grocery is pretty often, constantly we're going. But one positive thing we had as a family is family devotion every day. Because normally when kids are so busy, hung up with their own stuff, it's hard to have at least about 30 or 40 minutes every day. But now we're taking time just to go through scripture and praying. And so it's been very sweet. Sometime in March, we tried New Testament reading as a family for 1 week, and we did that. It was very sweet. It was very enriching experience for us. So I think at least for family, there should be some great discipleship moment. But also, it could be challenging for some families who don't know how to handle, you know, relationship between a husband and wife and children. But anyway, it's been good for us. So anybody wants to share, how have you been doing so far?
Yeah, I think one thing that's coming out, unfortunately, is the amount of unreported cases of domestic and child abuse that have, you know, come to the forefront during this COVID season, where a lot of the times you'll see evidence of it at schools or at work or at those types of things. Recently it's, you know, it all just stays at home. So there's a negative to it, but also, you know, Sammy, it's just amazing that, you know, you're finding the positive side of this. That's just praise be to God. I think for faithful servants and whatnot, it can be a big blessing. It can be a really good period. For myself, in all honesty, kind of like Gary was sharing, I have found myself actually to be quite a bit more busy. my dissertation has gone full stop. I haven't even looked at it. I haven't touched it because, you know, we went through a transition period of learning this new technology. We haven't really done a vetting process or whatnot, but we've basically screened who can come to church and whatnot. And we have a team that's here, and they're here quite often, but, you know, they're the only ones that will come. They're the only ones that know how to lock things up and work all the equipment and stuff. We do all our filming at church. And so, I think that's something that's a little different about our situation. You know, being a fairly large church, financially, we haven't been hit as hard, I think, as some smaller churches. But at the same time, we realize that because we have, you know, a little bit more in that arena, you know, what can we do with any extra offering or whatnot? And so we're trying to, you know, create coronavirus funding for less privileged families and those types of things. Personally, for me, it's been It's been good, but at the same time, you know, I feel bad for my wife. I think, Sammy, you're probably the only one that's met all three of my boys. I don't know if you met all three of them, but I've been around other kids. They're extremely high energy. So our house is literally like being destroyed every day. Something's breaking. They're tearing up the place. And Flora's going crazy. I need to be home more. I do. But you know, we're just doing our best to make it through, and you know, praise be to God, they're all still healthy, and yeah, just hoping that the season will pass quickly.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, it's good. Thank you for sharing. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I know for myself, it's certainly been a lot more work. I've kind of had to reshape a lot of what I'm doing at church. We have a praise team that we've kind of delegated the praise for worship, but I spend a lot of time essentially run a home studio, record everything and do everything at home. So I'm the, you know, also doing the editing and all the video work, recording, editing and processing. So it's been, kind of a heavy learning curve for me. You know, back in the day, used to love keeping up with technology, but it's not as fun now. it's a lot more work. And I feel like for myself too, I think in my prayer life, I felt a lot more burden, just sensing a lot more from our congregation, from the tidbits that I hear. I'm trying to get out to visit them, just socially distant. We just go onto their porch or we're on their sidewalk and talk. But I honestly, I can't do too much of that. I'm talking like once or twice a week, visiting a family and then trying to keep in touch through chatting and talking. Regarding our family, it's been also pretty tough just trying to keep on top of our son's homework schedule, but also they've gone through a lot of adjustments there. My wife is also still teaching, and it's been probably more work also for her. And yet, I mean, like whatever time saving we had with not going out and, you know, all the lost time in transition, I feel like it's been scooped up by other things. Jacob, I can kind of feel for you on the study side too, because I definitely have not touched anything in my studies right now. But, you know, I think this, the part of the, one of the big silver linings for us is as a smaller church, for us to be kind of thrust online. So we're trying to embrace that. And I thought I knew a lot about audio, and I realized I only knew half of audio, because audio for video is a pretty different animal, and learning, you know, all the mechanics, lighting, and whatever special effects and stuff like that. So it's been, I don't know, I feel like an old man. And the only time I have really that's quiet is at nighttime, and that's a lot of times when I do my recording and editing. So schedule sleep-wise, it's also been a little bit tough too. And our congregation, I think most of them are a little bit older. So I think overall they've been very cautious. So we haven't been directly impacted, although we've had some family, some friends and some family that have been affected by COVID-19 or even lost loved ones. So it's starting to come, and we started a COVID-19 fund also in that light. We don't have to pay our rent for our facilities as long as we're not using it, so that frees up some things. But I know our offerings have definitely taken a pretty somewhat significant hit in terms of, we don't know the exact picture yet, because trying to get our online giving still a little bit bumpy in how that's working. So it's, you know, I can feel, because you know, like Jacob said, there's definitely a lot of churches out there that are struggling, and congregation or folks that are the community. And so we're still trying to figure that out, all of that stuff in the process. So that's kind of where we're at as a church. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Eric, for sharing. Brother Ralph, do you have anything you want to share?
Yes, brother. I think I would start in a personal level. So since we got into this situation, I was asked, like, you know, so what will you do with your time now? Because you'll have more time, you'll be at home, and, you know, what will you do with that? You will not be traveling. And so, and you know, I wrestle with that question, but I can easily answer that question. But I think out of that question, my deeper question for myself is, it's not really about how will I use my time, but it's more of what God has called me to do. So it goes back to a calling question. God, what God has called me to do, and how that calling will be expressed in a season like this. So I think I got to that point of, you know, wrestling in my mind, Lord, I know you've called me. You have called me to abide in you, and you have called me that as I abide in you, you will use me to love my neighbor as I love myself, and also to fulfill and complete the Great Commission. So as I abide in you, you want to use me to fulfill the Great Commission by walking in light of the Great Commandment. So I wrestle with that, and then I ask the Lord, Lord, so how can I, in a practical sense, express that, you know, in my life right now? So, and there's one thing that I learned in this COVID-19, God brought me back to a picture of, you know, asking me what's my sweet spot, you know, how he's shaped me, what's the talent, what's the education, what's the experiences, what's the connection, what's the relationships that already has been built, that's already in me. And then, so I assess myself into that, and then begin to ask him, so Lord, how, you know, what's next? How can I use this? What's my next step in terms of fulfilling what you have called me to do, to advance your gospel, to make disciples, equip leaders, like that. So then I begin to experiment. I begin to try things. I also read something and bump into something. He said, you know, don't be afraid to try. You know, just try anything, because especially in season like this, you're open to make, you know, you're open to make mistakes. So because everybody are making mistakes anyway, so don't be afraid to try. So I said, oh, wow, this is amazing. Okay, so let me try, you know, some stuff. So I started trying some things that, you know, I haven't done before. And so like using Zoom, using FB Live, but always I'm going back to the question, why am I doing this? So I always go back to the question of purpose. Why am I doing this? And it goes back to the first question, which is what God has called me to do. So because this is what God has called me to do, and I know why I'm doing this, and this is in line with what he has called me to do, so I'm finding my sweet spot. So I think that's the other phrase that helps me in this situation. What's my sweet spot? You know, what is it already that God has shaped me to do? And then I just bring it to the next step. So I'm connected with many pastors and missionaries. So I just connect with them and then see how we can pray together, how we can open a platform, like doing a pastor's debrief, and we meet regularly and then share our experiences, share our failures, share lessons that we learn, and what our next steps are in, you know, to be more effective. So that's one. I led some prayer, prayer movements, 19 days of prayer. I haven't done that before, but, you know, looking back, wow, you know, it's a God thing that, you know, we survived 19 days of prayer. and how God has fed us every day, you know, in that prayer with ideas, how to pray and how to encourage one another. And so, you know, these are the things I'm learning. But I think the bottom line is, in a corporate sense, I still observe many churches are still asking the wrong question. The wrong question means, for me, is what are we going to do, you know, to do an online gathering? What are we going to do to gather our people in a Bible study? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's timely. I believe, you know, we need to ask that question. But I think the question that we should be asking is our people, are our people equipped, and how can we mobilize them? And if they're not equipped, you know, to feed themselves, to feed their families with the Word of God, to pray with their families, and so the question is, how can we equip them to do that? Rather than just transferring from, you know, the real in-person gathering and listening to me as a pastor when I preach on Sunday, then now the question is, how can I equip them so they can be the preachers, so they can be the pastors, so they can be the feeders of God's word, rather than always looking up to me, to what I initiate, you know, to what I open up as a platform for them to hear me preach, for them to hear me teach. And so I'm thinking about the priesthood of believers. How can we practice the priesthood of believers and really equip and mobilize the followers of Christ to feed themselves with the Word of God and their families and serve their communities? And so I think the other word is decentralize. Rather than centralizing everything, you know, how can we operate and mobilize people decentralizing everything? So I'm going back in closing to the New Testament. When the early believers were persecuted, they were scattered. And they were not asking the question, when can we see our brothers and sisters again in Jerusalem? And I'm sure, you know, they have that. But, you know, in the writings of the apostles, there were longings for them to see each other. But I think their focus was, you know, be faithful where you are, grow where you are, serve the Lord where you are, worship where you are, and focus where you are, focus in the season where you are, rather than longing, you know, how I wish this season will be done so we can get back to normal. So I'm inspired with that, and that's my prayer, that we will not waste this COVID-19, that, you know, God will, yes, as he intend to use this to transform us so we can be better servants of God in the next season, whatever that season is that he has prepared for us. So that's just, you know, my journey right now, where I'm in.
That's great. Well, thank you, Ralph. I think what you brought up can be a good segue to the next question. So how did this pandemic impact your worldview, perspective on the church and the discipleship, ecclesiology? For me, I've been going through John Piper's book, Coronavirus in Christ. I'm almost finishing it. It's a really great book. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's just, you know, John Piper is always about desiring God and leading people, pointing people to the glory of God. And this book is the same way. He is leading people to the gospel, the glory of God. And coronavirus is not a surprise at all, but God is in it. God is using it for his glory. So it's been very enriching experience for me just going through the book. So there is definitely God's hand in this. And I think that God is really waking up our churches to see, as Brother Ralph said, to see what the church is really about. You know, New Testament church. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing what we do? You know, things like that. So it's like a very fundamental question. So how about you? What really surprised you, or what shook your perspective and worldview, impacted you the most through this time, and how does it shape your way of ministry?
I felt like our church was not super early, but a little bit early, maybe a week or two, or maybe just on time, in terms of our trying to respond and actually have actions in place for our church to make all the necessary adjustments that we're making. And you know, part of one of the things that we did was we formed this COVID-19 advisory group, and that's it's now just become just sort of a forum for discussion. But that prepared us for a lot of the things. And one of the things that we were talking about even very early on was the financial impact that really only came into the conversation, I guess, in the last few weeks. And our even in spite of all those things, and the financial portion, I think, was very overwhelming, because the medical portion, other than the social distancing, there really was very little we could do, and some personal protective equipment. But the financial stuff is this, it's another big component. But the third thing that I think that really struck me is all of the discussion that I see in the media really challenged me and broke my heart to think about how we understand and wrestle with sin. All of the bantering back and forth and pointing fingers, and it just shows how sinful we are and how dysfunctional we are. And a lot of that's just simply coming to light. And I think a lot of the folks that I think of in America either pick sides or they've disengaged. And I think COVID-19 has given me a burden just to keep engaging our people. And in that way, I'd say the most important way that I've been really wrestling with how to engage is how do we bring people into God's word in such a deep way that their understanding flows naturally into actions in their lives. You know, it's too easy, I think, in the area of the country that we're in to be comfortable. So in terms of worldview, it you know, every family, when they're wrestling through the fights or tiffs or whatever levels of friction in their family, it's a reminder we're sinful. And we've kind of gotten away from being able to or have to be accountable to that. And so now we're up close and personal with our family members. And yet, you know, will we take that to the next level with our friends and our church members and our neighbors? As far as worldview goes, I realize, you know, this one little virus has really changed the nature of relationships and revealed a lot about beliefs. So, yeah, that's the part, general picture of what I've been wrestling with. Yeah.
Okay. And following up with Eric is, just to see how partisan, the confirmation of how partisan this country that we live in, actually this world that we live in, really is. Just all the blaming, all the pointing of fingers, all the defensiveness, like how defensive people get, like immediately if you mention like, oh, Wuhan virus, people are like, oh no, you're racist. It's like, I think we're a little bit too sensitive at times. And it just points to the very fact is, you know, we're trying to cover up sin. And this world, you know, just always reminded by this, I do think about this a lot. I've struggled with depression my entire life, just throwing that out there. But this world can't be all there is. I mean, I think the coronavirus, it reminds people en masse that there has to be more, right? This it's broken. And I think it's a very good time for evangelism. I think a lot of people are asking questions about, you know, is there more? Is this world there all there is? Because all it takes is a little virus to mess up everything the way we know it. That said, I just keep maintaining, I want the season to be over. It's this tension, the longer that we're in it, the food supply chains, if you've done any research on that, it's gonna keep getting worse. As the church, yes, we do learn and grow from this, but we also realize this season's going to pass, but the world will be forever changed. And as you know, relatively young leaders here in this chat room, not discounting an older generation or whatnot, but you know, we need to be really flexible. And I think, you know, I don't know all of your backgrounds like really, really well, obviously, but yeah, if we've been through adversity before, if we're used to change ourselves, you know, I think, yeah, just God can use our histories and whatnot to help us guide parts of the church through. And yeah, praise be to God, even for this hard time. But again, just, yeah, I can't wait for it to be over. So.
I think we are approaching post-COVID-19 time. And I keep hearing some conversations and debate on how churches should prepare for this post-COVID-19. They said everything would be different. It's never going to be same. Is it going to be better or worse? But whatever that is, we don't know the future. We don't even know what will happen tomorrow. But as pastors and leaders, I think we are visionary. God has called us as visionaries. So we should be very sensitive, and we should be obedient to whatever God calls us to be. So, you know, God, Jesus called us to go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Brother Ralph briefly mentioned about the great opportunities that God is doing through this COVID-19, that churches are more scattered, and then, you know, they're kind of forced, like a Jerusalem church, that they're kind of forced to go beyond what they were used to be. And they are so amazing opportunity to share the gospel and multiply and make disciples like never before. So what do you see in the future in the post-COVID-19 world? That how do you see that your church would be used by God to make disciples of all nations and to impact the world in a different way that you used to do? So, for example, for me, I'm consulting for Asian churches, and many Asian churches in North Carolina are very typical Asian immigrant church. You know, mostly first generations. There are some second generations, and you know, they're more like a family type of churches. I would say maybe 80% of them preach in their own language only, not in English, but they have their own ethnic food every Sunday, and they have a good fellowship afterwards, and so it's good. Like they have a really good intimate, you know, setting and fellowship all the way through. But now, because of COVID-19, or they cannot meet together, so for first 2-3 weeks they had a lot of challenge that they didn't know what to do with all of this. But now they're almost all of them are settled with the Zoom or Facebook Live, and they're doing pretty good. But actually, some of those churches are going beyond what they were used to be. You know, they record their sermon in their language, but not just their church family members, but also the people in their home countries listen to the sermon in their language. So there's a more connection beyond their church building. So there are some exciting things going on. For me, just recently I recorded a sermon in Urdu, which is Pakistani language, and posted on Facebook, hoping that someone in not only here, but also in you know, Central Asia, or all around the world, will hear this Urdu message. So things like that, you know, God is really opening the box and, you know, using this opportunity to spread the gospel. So that, yeah, I think that there's a definitely challenge, but also the challenge is also the opportunity for the gospel. You know, Philippians 1:12 clearly says that the Paul was in prison, but it was used for advancement of gospel. So I think I definitely believe that God is not limited. Gospel is not limited by this COVID-19 and all. But okay, I'll stop here. But what have you seen in your own ministry, the potential and opportunity for discipleship, the Great Commission, you know, all the exciting, you know, things?
Hold on first. Simon, how many languages do you speak? Like, where are you posting these things?
I barely speak one.
Okay.
No, I didn't record sermon in Urdu.
I invited my
Pakistan friend to preach in Urdu. No, I'm sorry. I didn't.
All right, just want
to clarify. Yeah.
Since we're online these days on Facebook Live, definitely we have our church people watching in, but we definitely have other people watching that probably wouldn't normally have. I have a lot of family that are not saved in California, LA, Sacramento area. They jump on and, you know, they're wondering what their son or nephew is doing, or uncle. I guess I'm all three. And so, so I have non-Christian relatives that are looking in and seeing what we're saying. And so that's fascinating. And then I have neighbors in our cul-de-sac watching in. And then we have friends from other states watching in. So they don't watch in every week, but you know, they're there every other week or once every three. And so that's been encouraging. So we're going to definitely keep, you know, Facebook Live on now. We'll get others to learn how to do it. So that's been one change inadvertently, to see the gospel hit friends that we pray about often. And so that's that. I don't know where else is going, but sometimes my kids say, look, so-and-so's on. Look, your uncle's on, your cousin's on. They go, oh, if the first time we ever heard you preach besides like grandma's funeral or whatever. So it's good. So I need to be mindful of my audience that's broader than I normally think.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm learning first, you know, to posture myself, learning to be present in this season. So my mind and my emotion wanted to get out of this season as soon as possible. You know, if there's just a way, but at the same time, there's something inside me. That's not how I should be living my life in this season. I should be present in this season. Present in this season means to learn the lessons, to grieve with those who grieve, to mourn with those who mourn, and to rejoice with those who rejoice for the blessings that, you know, they receive. And, you know, just to be present and to learn emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and manage, you know, physically, financially, whatever. And to be present at home, to be present at work, and going back to be present in my calling, you know, in this season. And just focus in this season. And because if I'm focused on this season, God will take care of preparing me for whatever the next season is. So because if I'm focused, if I'm present now, there will be no problem with me being present on the next season. So, and then, and I go back to purpose, helping people that I get connected with through my, you know, church planters prayer meeting, church planters coaching, and also pastors gathering, pastors debrief, pastors consultation, like that. So just helping them clarify, you know, what's your purpose now? What's God's purpose? What's God's calling for you? Why do you exist? You know, why God saved you? And then translate that in their network of influence, if there are pastors among their church members, you know, helping each one, so each one will have clarity why God saved them, what God has called them to do, and then equip them and assist them to fulfill that in this season, so that they will be ready for the next season that God has in store for us. And then learn the platform. So that's one. So learning the different platforms of communication and deliveries of expressing our calling from God.
Great. All right. Anyone else want to share?
I was just thinking about how I think the last time that we met, I was excited to think and talk about how preaching wise, there's all these pastors and churches that are going to be online. And certainly that's happened. I think one of the other things that we're going to see here, I mean, if we think about preaching, it wasn't exactly preaching in the Old Testament in some ways. It was prophets speaking, at least that's what we have in Scripture. And yet they were preaching. What I'm saying is, I guess the form may be changing. And I think I know that for myself, just being on video as much and also not having an audience, well, except for my family, has been really challenging. And I think how we preach and where we, obviously where we preach is now extremely accessible, but how we preach will shift so much because of the nature of, and I'm curious if this will help make the message of the gospel more accessible to the current generation, because I think there's so many people that would be reluctant to step into a church for the first time, and that gap is, I think, growing bigger. So as far as I don't know. I look forward to seeing how that will work. We know that physical church, as far as physically gathering and being close in proximity, is essential in some part, but we're also still functioning, and I'm surprised at how well that is. I know I'm speaking at the church level, but it really is also a missional thing too, because when we go into, like, typically I'm so busy with church, I barely ever talk with my neighbors, but now I go out and everybody's walking all around, and so there's conversations, and you know, it's like people almost feel like they have to be friendly because they can't be close to you. So it's okay. It's a safe distance. And so you say hi to them. How are you? And so I've had more conversations with my neighbors than I have in the last four or five houses I've lived at, which is pretty, pretty amazing. And so I think, and it's not, I mean, yes, in a mission sense around the world, but, that our lives can be an impact where we are every day in the conversations that we have. So it's been, I've been really encouraged just to think of our congregation members and pray for them as they're interacting with the people that are around them.
Yeah, I mean, I found that too. It's across the street from us. We had to move back into our small town home, just a series of bad decisions, actually a really big financial hit. But, you know, we have a roof over our head, and, you know, that's where we are. One of the reasons why our house is being destroyed, because it's so small for these little boys. They need free reign. They're like cattle. But we there's a couple of families across the road from us. They're living together in a small town home, same type of unit as ours. But, you know, it's obvious that they're immigrants, probably from Central America. But, you know, just getting to know them that in ways we wouldn't if, you know, it were not the season. Because, you know, everybody's always at home. Their kids are like the same age as ours. It's actually two households in the one place. So they're even more crowded than we are. But yeah, it's been kind of cute to see the kids, you know, kind of play, but not really, because they're always on the other side of the street. But they're all like pointing at each other and saying, friends, right? But I'm like, well, you can't touch them right now, you know? You can't like drool on them yet. So, you know, that's, you know, it's been a blessing in disguise. You know, again, you know, the world, it's going to change. And I think this forced a lot of churches to realize, you know, they can't just sit in the past. Especially in terms of technology, and especially in ways that we evangelize and whatnot, it's you know, something, you know, some churches have been really good at for a while, and some have just literally just been forced into it. But any way about it, I think literally every church in our society has been exposed, which has been hard for some and has come kind of naturally for others. Again, I don't want to like beat a dead horse or anything, but for our church, it's come very naturally. It's come very easily. but I still don't like being here. Right? I just want to move forward. And it's not just like going back to the way things are. I think that's always a mistake, right? Anyone who's been around me, or I think all of us here, we understand that, you know, always looking to the past and wanting the way things to be the way they are or the way they were, this, that's just silly. You know, A, it's never going to be the same way, and, you know, just by the whole notion of time. B, I think we, as human beings, we're designed to move forward, right? To continually, to not just settle down and say, this is where we are, but to always be looking to the horizon, wondering and being faithful with what God is bringing. And so that should be a given for us as ministers. But at the same time, I'm just, I worry too much. I'm thinking, really, if we sit here too long, especially for the smaller churches, you know, I have 3 friends in ministry already that were laid off by their churches. Mm. They were the first guys to go. The EM staff was deemed, you know, one of the unessential things of the church or whatnot. Our society, going back to meat, I like to eat meat, right? But if you do any sort of search of any news site right now, the meat packing industry is if we go on much longer in this, it's gonna literally collapse, right? What's gonna happen? Yeah, it's just prayers that we'll find the vaccine soon, learn from this, and move forward.
It's all right. I just want to chime in one other little thought. I was very much thinking about how, with kids, thinking about my son, how much this event is going to be formative for the rest of his life. And I can't help but think back to the great generation that went through World War I and World War II. We're going to see ripples and repercussions that are going to last throughout their life. We can at least look at our bank accounts and measure it, that, but for our the impact emotionally and psychologically, and, you know, how does this impact work? How does this impact the understanding of society? So another great burden in my heart has been just to pray for our young folks, our children, and you know, at different ages, different things affect you so much. I think about, you know, in my life, moving when I was in fourth grade, and I was like so traumatic, and I'm this heavy introvert. And that really, really shaped my life. And yet here we have something that's really shaping a whole generation. And I, you know, it's like, what does that mean? We have no idea. You know, what is this thing? You know, we think of 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love. We don't know what manner of love God has for us and what's going to happen. So I guess I'm starting to put a lot of concern towards praying for our next generation. Yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sharing. It's been good. It's almost 2:54. And 3 o'clock, there is another Zoom meeting, and it's going to be with SBC, Asian American Pastors, and with Dr. Ronnie Floyd. He is the CEO of Southern Baptist Convention. So if you're interested, you can join the meeting as well. So you can meet with other Asian American leaders from other states. So I'm going to that meeting as well. So I think we need to wrap up here. So... Gary, may I ask you to close us up with prayer?
Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that we can dialogue and conversate and learn from each other. And really, we're learning more and more from you, what it means to follow you, what it means to serve you. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to serve your people and serve your city? It just could look different. It doesn't need to be the same way or a way we're most comfortable and way we're more used to. But I think... help us to embrace the new boxes or no box way of serving you. And so, Father, lead us, grant us grace and the filling of your spirit as we move into a new way, a different way of serving you. I thank you for these dear brothers. We pray, Lord, that you would just multiply the fruit in their lives, that they could bless more and more in your name. Thank you for the leadership of Sammy and Ralph, too, and their input in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.